Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Back to more Boston sports talk. Gresh and Keith on EEI.
Today was the closest we've been to a perfect game, to be honest with you. We pitched well, played great defense, we ran the bases. We were very aggressive in a lot of aspects, you know. So tonight is one of those that you feel good about it, but at the same time, like we always do, we turn the page, we'll be ready for tomorrow. You know, that's a really good team out there. It's never comfortable with them, so we got to be ready.
That is Alex Cora, who did get after Eddie Rodriguez after Eddie Rodriguez kind of clapped back at Carlos Correa. And you know what's
interesting,
Keith?
Great moment. It was a great baseball moment.
So we had the caller in hour one as we roll into hour two of Gresh and Keith. And here's one from the 617 on the text, the 37937. I actually agree with the caller. Correa didn't taunt the Red Sox. What E-Rod did was worse. I love emotion like Pivetta showed, or like Koji used to show. What E-Rod did was wrong and could very easily come back to bite him.
So I disagree wildly with that. I think that if Correa just did one of those look to the dugouts like they do on second base, you know, Verdugo like rocks the baby,
or
they've had all those different things that they've done, that's very much a celebrate with the team kind of thing. If you hit a home run, and even if you don't make any gesture at all and you stand at home for multiple seconds, remember, people would get on Ortiz for that because Ortiz would watch a home run.
He,
I loved it.
Pimp it like
people,
crazy.
Yep. Right. But that in of itself is seen as showing up the pitcher. Mm-hmm. Whether, again, I don't care. I like showing up the pitcher. Show up the pitcher all the time. But standing there and be like, he looked at his dugout, so he wasn't doing it. He stood there like a foot in front of Vasquez for what felt like forever as a Red Sox fan. Then he's looking at his fake watch, and then he's doing a slow jog around the bases. Come on, you can't say what Correa did was nothing.
Yeah, it's interesting because I understand where people are kind of parsing it. There is the reaction and being emotional in the moment, and then there is, let's be real, hitters pimp it. They do. And
of course they do.
Especially the younger guys. So if
But this one's great because it's different than just a straight up pimping. Because if you're
you want to pimp a home run, that's great.
Good. But if you're a pitcher, like what's the version of pimping as a pitcher off the mound? Well, I'm not really sure. Whereas this is a direct, all right, you're doing this little thing,
shot.
I'm going to do it right back to you.
Yeah, and maybe that is why Cora really took exception to it, because like when you think of Pivetta or even like with the Dodgers, Joe, why am I blanking?
Kelly, Joe Kelly.
Thank you, Kelly. Like when he looks at the guy and goes,
"Oh, the sad face."
Boo hoo!
Like
right?
That's awesome.
We love that.
Yeah.
But do players in baseball be like, "Oh, that's"? Whereas with Nick Pivetta, and he does the, you know, he's dry humping the
Nick
air.
Nick Pivetta
is going
to lose his mind tonight. He's going to lose his mind. And if you're an Astro player or even an Astro fan, you can take it probably a couple of ways. Like, all right, is this guy just celebrating with himself and his teammates? Is he kind of showing us up a little bit? Because there's been more than a handful of pitchers throughout time that have done stuff. Remember Jose Lima when it was Lima time? The guy would do like a whole thing on the mound, and it was great, but some other teams didn't always like that.
617-779-7937. There's also the next layer of this Eddie Rodriguez conversation is are you maybe taking the cheese here on this playoff run from Edrod and thinking about bringing him back? We will get to that a little bit later on. But I would also quickly like to congratulate the state of Connecticut, who we thought 2 weeks ago were rolling out their sports betting. No, no, no. They pulled it back. And today is the real first day of sports betting across the state in the state of Connecticut, while Massachusetts continues to walk around with cranius rectus.
They'll get there.
So Chris in the great state of Connecticut on a day where you can wager down there kicks off hour two. Aggression Keith. Hello, Chris.
Hey, guys. Let me get you off speaker real quick.
That'd be great.
That'd be awesome.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
All right.
Hey, I just want to – how's it going?
Good.
Love the show.
Thank you.
I wanted to weigh in on the bat flipping and the celebrating. Baseball needs it badly. It's so vanilla. And one of my examples is the series with A-Rod with the big hamburger helper hand. Yeah. I didn't think I could hate A-Rod any more.
Right.
And after that, like if you took hate and cooked it on a spoon to remove the impurities, that's my hate for A-Rod.
Wow. Okay. Were you in the crowd last night? Because there's a few people getting after A-Rod postgame.
I love that. So my jaws are sore from laughing and smiling. He was so jealous of Poppy sitting there getting all the love, and he was just getting hammered. I wish I could have heard. They kept blanking it out.
Yeah.
I guess they were using some foul language.
They were.
I wish I could have heard.
They were. Pretty incredible. And as an aside, that Fox postgame show is David Ortiz, A-Rod, and Frank Thomas, which we've talked about before. Yep. All are great players. But I think at that moment, A-Rod and even Frank Thomas probably realized that they don't have the connection with their fan base that Ortiz has with this fan base. Like, they were so obsessed with him. Whereas, you don't, A-Rod is great. A-Rod was a better player, but he doesn't have that. Even the Yankee fans never really embraced him. The Ranger fans, he was barely there. The Mariner fan, no. Like, he doesn't have that. But he was getting it on the other side. He was getting the more hate, which is a good sign. That means, obviously, you're a pretty good player if a fan base is going to hate you that much.
For every Hulk Hogan, there's a Roddy Piper.
J-Lo!
Yep.
They were
J-Lo. That was the only clean thing that we could really pull from that postgame and put on the air,
right? Place was packed, though. It was an awesome scene, which I would dare say they don't do their postgame show in the same spot tonight. I don't know. Maybe they liked it. Maybe they liked the attention.
Hey, A-Rod! What's your favorite Ben Affleck movie?
It would look like you were, you know, running with your tail between your legs if they did it inside somewhere. But I also feel like just to get through the broadcast, they may have to do it inside.
I wonder if they might have to do like they went to on College Game Day, where they had to put like the netting down behind where they were. Because you
it was
like,
so loud,
though. You had the drunk colleges who were like throwing stuff, and that became a safety issue. And nobody's but the whole.
But that was a pregame. This was people had been drinking for 6 hours.
Ben Affleck's got J-Lo! How do you like them apples?
It's a Matt Damon line, but still, all good.
I think Ben wrote it, though, right?
He co-wrote it. A lot of people think that Matt wrote it, but...
Just trying to think where they could go, you know?
I don't know. Our studio's there.
I was just going to say...
All those guys in there.
Sure, they'll move some boxes aside, boot out one of those... like the dudes over here who are on the construction site right near WEEI.
Oh, yeah, they can come here.
And they wear the yellow vest. So you know what it says on the back? Safety 365. And you know what they're doing? Standing in the middle of the road talking on a cell phone.
Right, I know.
Good God almighty.
But it's funny because that show on its own, as much as we love David Ortiz, that show is not worth watching.
I'm glad you watched it because I didn't.
But with the song, well, it was just on afterwards. And like before I could even change it, the crowd took over. So now it's must watch. If they line up outside the next two nights, it's must watch just because of the crowd.
You're right. I wonder if they're moving inside.
I think
or...
they do. I think they're like, we can't get anything done. All they're doing is cheering Ortiz and booing A-Rod and swearing. Like, we can't do the broadcast.
Yeah, the problem is there's nowhere naturally for them to go at Fenway Park. Like, you look at what they had. They had the setup in Atlanta. It was like left field deck or something.
You would have
like that.
To try to get something like on the field immediately, or you have to do something. You have to finagle something in the stadium as people are leaving. Maybe they yell at you on their way out, but they're not just standing there for your whole postgame show.
Yeah, they're gonna have to do
awesome,
something
though.
Actually, or just crank it up. And who knows, the Fox people are probably
just
like, hey, great for business.
Yeah, true.
Let's find a way to go to a 30-second delay. Audio
guy,
good
anything.
Luck to you.
Can't hear anything.
Let's go to Robert in New Hampshire with Gresh and Keith talking Red Sox. Hello, Bob.
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, just a couple of comments. One, you know, they say that imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, right? So I think E-Rod, I have absolutely no problem with what he did. I watched it. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's just complimenting
right.
Correa.
Yeah, and even Correa said the same thing. Carlos Correa, of all people, actually enjoyed it. He had no problem with it.
Right. And I agree with previous callers. Baseball does need some of this. They're going to have to define the fine line between taunting and showmanship entertainment. But here's where I take exception, and I think it's interesting. Cora, you know, reacted immediately the same way that E-Rod. I mean, it's an emotional game, and it's an emotional moment, and E-Rod reacted. Well, so did Cora right away. So to reprimand him in front of the world on TV like that, I just think Cora is a better leader. My military background was always praise in public, admonish in private, right? And I think Cora missed an opportunity to, you know, praise him as he came off the mound. The fans are going nuts. And then later on, maybe he pulls him aside and says, hey, listen, let's talk about that because we want to stay humble. And look, this narrative changes dramatically. It feels like we're up 3-1. It might even feel like we've won three in a row.
Yeah.
We have. One win tonight, it's 2-2, and this is a whole new narrative we're having tomorrow morning. Now, I hope it doesn't come to that.
Yeah.
I really do. But that's my thought on last night.
Hey, I think two good points, Robert. I think normally you might see that where the coach or manager in this case might sort of say something or might pull him into the tunnel or might say something on his way in, and so it doesn't become a big deal. Like, all of a sudden it was a big deal because you see it all over the replays and you see it, like, you know, people are picking it up on Twitter and everywhere else. They're like, all right, E-Rod did this. Certain amount of the fan base thinks it's cool. Certain doesn't. And then then Alex Cora kind of screaming at him like he's a little kid. But then in the post game, because Robert was saying they both did something in the moment. But in the post game, Cora was like, we don't do that. Like, we don't do that. We don't need that extra motivation, blah, blah, blah. So I think he kind of stuck with what he was saying. And whereas Rodriguez, I think, is still like, you know what? I kind of am going to do this again if I have to. You have Cora?
Yeah, John's getting it now. So the weekend, for those who missed it after the game, Alex Cora
he
was kind of
stuck by his guns.
He did.
Alex, I was just going to ask you about, Eduardo's start and also just what you said to him kind of coming off the mound there.
Don't do that.
And why?
Because we don't act that way. I mean, you know, we just show up, we play, and we move on. And he knows. I let him know. We don't have to do that. You know, if we're looking for motivation outside of what we're trying to accomplish, we're in the wrong business. You know, the only motivation we have is to win four games against them and move on to the next round.
Not completely.
No, not at all.
Truth with Alex and the whole, you know, celebration. City. Yeah, but here's the thing. And maybe the caller in hour one was more onto it in that Alex Cora didn't look at Nick Pivetta's emotion and say, no, 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 that's bad. This one where it felt like
it was in response, it was retaliation to what the other team did.
Yeah, so
I understand. Pivetta, no, they're different.
So with Pivetta, it was showmanship. With Eddie Rodriguez, it was taunting. But here's the other part of this, too. Does Cora almost have to overreact because of the opponent on the other side and all the stickiness of everything their long-sorted history?
It feels like in that moment he was terrified that was going to wake up the Astros.
Right.
Like, that's how I looked at it. And So I still like Cora, don't get me wrong. I just hate that answer. I hate how he responded to Rodriguez because guess what? We've all watched enough sports to know that these guys use whatever they can to motivate them. Rodney Harrison, obviously the most famous, but every team does that. They'll find one random tweet from some guy, you know, first name, bunch of letters, two tweets total.
Chris Scheim joined
October 2021, said we couldn't win. You're like, that's a fake account. But they don't care. Like, they'll hold on to that. And Cora, we've seen him say, nobody thought we could do it. So who's nobody? If you're only worried about your own wins, how would you know what people are saying about your team? Doesn't make a lot of sense.
Is any of this connected to Eddie Rodriguez's performance this year and the fact that he's on the roll and that Cora knows, okay, get your nose in front of your toes, so to use a skiing term.
I was going to say, it's not exactly, you know, Justin Verlander or Pedro Martinez or Curt Schilling in their prime talking trash.
Right.
Right? Like, those guys can kind of back it up more often, whereas if I told you the next time we see Rodriguez, he gets shelled, I don't think anybody would be surprised. But in that moment, I loved it, and I feel bad that he had a good start. He had a cool moment where he showed emotion and he gets reprimanded for it. It's like, ugh, kind of lame.
You need the fine balance of it all. And that's where the NFL, I think, has muddied us all. Because they, you know, go ahead and celebrate
together. Now they're trying to figure it out.
Right.
And you're like, well, what does that guy mean? How do you know? Well, he's celebrating with his teammates. It's like, well, yeah, but the other team doesn't like it. You're like, oh, okay.
Right. And this whole thing has been muddied across sports, I think. Let's go to Rick in Connecticut with Gresh and Keith. Hello, Rick.
Good morning, guys. I just wanted to say, I think that the E-Rod and Alex Cora both handled it the way they were supposed to. E-Rod being an emotional player, doing what he did, the fans loved it. Even if there was a fan on early, they showed in the first inning who was checking his watch. But Cora, yeah, in public has to act like he wants to discourage that as the leader of the team. But you know that in the locker room, he's bringing this up and motivating them with this. Remember a couple of years ago with the Yankees when he says, they obviously suck on it? So Cora's he just plays it perfect for the public, but he encourages it in the locker room, and I'm sure he's telling him privately he's happy he did that. Yeah, they're all on board. They're all on the same page.
Suck on it.
So I don't know about that. I feel like Cora's pretty truthful. Like, I don't know if he...
I think he's genuine. I'm with you.
And he was so in the moment screaming at him.
Right away.
Because he could have just brought him in and, like, gave him the old, like, hey, good one, but then asked about it in the postgame. He could be like, yeah, I addressed it with Rodriguez, and we're not going to do that anymore. But, like, if he really did like it, I don't think he was so quick. And when they showed it in slow-mo, he was screaming at him worse than he screams at an umpire.
Do you think if it was some 250 Punch and Judy hitter that the reaction would have been the same from Cora? I mean, if it was just, like, a guy who it was, all right.
What do you mean, that did the time thing?
Or that Eddie Rodriguez reacted to. You know what I mean? Like, much of it was Correa? Because we know that if Correa wakes up, it could be a real problem.
No, I think it was just kind of poking the hornet's nest. I think it could have been anybody.
Gotcha.
Now, I am curious if it was... Let's say, and again, Chris Sale's not a great example because he struggled in the playoffs. But I'm trying to think of like a great player did it. I wonder if he would have the same thing.
Vintage Chris Sale.
Yeah, vintage Chris Sale or like playoff Schilling.
Okay.
Like, would he scream in Schilling's face if he did something like
Papelbon?
That? Papelbon or one of these guys.
Who apparently threw a 91-mile-an-hour first pitch. You see this?
That's pretty good.
That was pretty good gas at WEEI, had that bad. On Twitter, and I was like, what?
Speaking of Correa, I feel like he throws it from short to first about 91.
Dick,
he throws smoke over there from short. But
you know, I know that we always do for NFL games, I know they have Xander, but
Correa's pretty good.
Correa. I just put him at third and then put Devers over at first, and then it solves the first base problem. Or he's just the DH.
He's a good player. But it'll be interesting because I know a lot of people have pointed out, like, you know, since Correa pointed to his watch, the Red Sox have outscored the Astros like some crazy number. But now it's going to be, all right, they're going to keep tabs of what was it after Eduardo Rodriguez pointed at his watch. Is that going to turn things around?
So that's the thing, I think we found kind of the sort of the crux of the discussion. How much of this is really about Eddie Rodriguez? How much of it is philosophically Alex Cora, where he would definitely be talking out of both sides of his mouth? How much of it is because of Correa? Also, the ickiness between these two teams.
Yeah.
And you are talking about it all at 617-779-7937. We're going to keep riding the Red Sox talk. Matt Turner of the New England Revolution will be at 1245.
That'd be the first place revolution to you, Gresh?
That's
a great song, too.
I'm trying to contribute to communist football.
They're a wagon this year. They might win. They might be the city of champions, might be back. Thanks to the Revs.
We got baseball. We have good vibes.
So another reason why I think Cora might have done that, even though I disagree with it, is it is game three of a best of seven. And I thought another one of Robert's good points in his call was they're up 2-1. Like, we feel great. They've hit so many grand slams. They've scored 21 runs in the last two games.
They're hot.
They've gotten some good pitching performances. It's 2-1. Like, I'm guilty of it, too. Like, I am very guilty of, who are they going to play in the World Series? Like, I'm ready to move on. But
it's hard not to think it again. What do we start the show
with? It's a long way to go.
It feels like we're back to May. Yeah,
it's definitely a long way to go.
Let's go to Chris in the truck with Gresh and Keith. Chris has got the popo after him, so hurry up, brother.
Hey. Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Some guys have hit this right on the head. I believe it's 98% do not wake a sleeping giant. This team's got a very good lineup, Houston, and we're handling them right now, but you don't want to give them any extra motivation. I think that's why Carr got angry like he did. You don't need to do that right now. Like the guy said, you're only up 2-1. We're going to win four games.
Right.
Let's just keep doing what we're doing. And when it's all over, after you win the fourth game, then you can all stand around, tap their wrists, pound their chest, and say, it's my time.
Yeah, and thanks for the call, Chris. I think, and be safe out there. I think part of Gresh's point is Correa, like those guys in that lineup can turn. Like, if another team that's playing right now could all of a sudden also score 20 runs in two games, it might be this Astros team.
Right.
So I think Cora's like, just let them, they're struggling a little bit. That is the best argument against it, even though, again, I loved it so much. I thought it was so great. But then it was like almost ruined in a second because you see Rodriguez do it. I'm like celebrating at home. And then they immediately show the replay of Cora be like, stop it! I'll kill you! Stop it!
We're all like teachers getting yelled at. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
You see a 28-year-old grown adult get yelled at like that very often.
Shut the fuck up, Bruce.
But here we are.
Let's go to Steve in the truck with Gresham Keefe. Hello, Steve.
Gentlemen, how are you today?
Good.
A couple of things on this subject. Number one, Alex Cora is the one that said, we score 16 runs in Yankee Stadium. Stop going.
Right.
So that's one thing. Another thing is, you know, when Correa hit the home run, and he's not a well-liked individual anyway, he stood there for like 6 seconds, tempted, then did the thing with his watch. So I'm going to ask you guys, because you would know, if it was Roger Clemens, Pedro Martinez, Nolan Ryan, or any one of those guys who did that to, what happens next time like that?
Might get a high hard one.
You know what, Steve?
Yeah, you better believe it.
I don't know about it in the playoffs because, as we've seen, hitting guys in the playoffs is dangerous. But to your point, if this were the regular season.
Yeah, score and inning matters.
Absolutely.
In that case.
But to Steve's point, if this happened in game 107 and in game 137 of the regular season, they had the chance to sort of give him the receipt, I think they would have.
And I could see people on both sides having a much bigger problem with whatever the next pitcher is drilling Correa rather than strike the guy out and then time check it and then move on. Like, you're kind of giving him, it's like when Johnny Manziel, both in college and his very, very brief pro career, he would always do the money sign, right? He'd always do the money sign.
Sure.
It got to the point, though, where when defensive players would either pick him off or sack him, they would also do the money sign. And it was great. To me, it was great on both sides. If Manziel throws a touchdown pass against Alabama, double money sign. If they pick six him and sack him, do it back. And so, like, that's kind of what Correa is doing, because if anything, you're kind of getting Correa's personality over a little bit. He has a call thing, you know, like that's his celebration. Apparently, I didn't know if he does that all the time. I don't know if it's always Correa time. Sort of like Isaiah Thomas in the fourth quarter.
I always thought that was CM Punk and it was clobbering time.
I thought it might be clobbering time, although he stole that from The Thing in Fantastic Four.
Well, so. Of course. Well, all every great
stolen.
I was just gonna borrowed.
Borrowed.
If it's outside,
sampled.
If it's outside a 50-mile radius, it's okay. Yes, sampled.
It's sampled.
I mean, John hip to all of the, you know, when Kendrick Lamar is stealing riffs and beats and raps from 1973.
He's not stealing raps. That's
all
for sure.
Original beats.
Yes, all original beats. Exactly right. We have a lot of folks talking about the Red. Here's what's amazing about this is that the Red Sox are in such a good place right now that we are sitting here parsing through. Showboating versus taunting.
Yeah, that's what
not holy crap, Chris Sale might be starting game 5.
He might.
Not it's a bullpen game tonight. It's just dressed up with Nick Pavetta.
Not a bullpen game, it's Pavetta.
But
it's Pavetta night.
This lets you know we are feeling it.
Oh, we are.
And by the way, the one caller who was like, yeah, don't wake him up. That's old. That's pre-04 Red Sox
that
fan right there.
Oh, that's still in most of us too.
Absolutely.
That is. Even all the World Series, all the success,
buried
it's still in there
deep
a little
down
bit.
Like, in
oh,
there.
They can blow this.
Totally
they can blow
agree.
This. Yep.
Totally agree. We will continue with you. The phones are red hot. We're talking about the red hot Red Sox, who are 2 wins away from going to the World Series. Pinch yourself. Just don't do it on the side for Shine because he's ticklish. He's ready to tread.
Like the show?
Of course you do.
And not that other way, freaks.
Tell a friend about Gresh and Keefe on WEEI.
John Anderson back there spitting the hits.
Yeah, it's something, I guess.
Chime's been saying hot, hot, hot every time.
Well, the Red
time
Sox lineup, John, I don't know if you've noticed, is in fact hot, hot, hot.
PK is the hottest player on the planet.
He's
right
the
now.
Hottest guy in the world right now.
With all of the new music that is out there, we went with this, right?
It's a classic.
It is a timeless classic.
It's something. You know what it is?
Can these bats?
When I was a bouncer, it was when the ladies who were waiting for their Uber, and they
There's no way you were a bouncer when Uber
in the Uber
thing.
Era.
No, they were cabbing. You're right.
This last night.
Yeah,
he's smoking. Gaslighting.
God Almighty. You're right.
No chance.
When they're waiting for
Uber.
A cab.
I was gonna say thank you. A cab where you had to pay cash.
I won this exchange, Gresh. Just move
on. No, I mean, that's just a terrible song. And you're right.
I didn't say it was a good song.
Shim Shime and the Shocks are hot.
The Shocks are hot. Can they stay hot? Can this offense stay hot? Not 12 runs a game.
Oh, yeah.
But can they stay over six? I think they can.
And a part of the reason that I think the offense can stay hot as we get ready to get back into the phones with you at 11:33 with Gresh and Keefe is that pitching staff for the Astros
sucks.
They have no answers
have
right now.
That's why in the one caller, and I get it, and you pointed out how it's like the old school Sox fan in him. Was like, yes. I said, it's not over. I think you're not facing a team that can turn it over to Max Scherzer, Justin Verlander, Josh Beckett when he was going, because that's sort of the thing. And not that anybody predicted the Red Sox to come back down 3-0.
Only Lou.
But when you have Curt Schilling, Pedro Martinez, even Derek Lowe, there's at least, I guess, like a glimmer of, all right, well, these guys can shut them down. You still have Manny and Ortiz. And what, like, there was, I guess, a glimmer. Whereas what are the Astros saying? Well, as soon as we get it back to Urrutia or Garcia, like, no, those guys don't seem to have it right now. And even if they do, they're only going 2-3 innings. Then you're getting into that bullpen, which isn't overly impressive anyway.
No.
So the Red Sox, believe it or not, have the advantage, the pitching advantage. It's crazy. Here we are, the ALCS, two best teams in baseball. Or I'm sorry, two best teams in the American League. And you're so thrilled when a guy goes 5 or 6 innings because it's just not happening on either side.
Phil in Maine with his thoughts on Cora and E-Rod with Gresh and Keefe. Hi, Phil.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Yep.
Hey, so, you know, I think, honestly, he just wants to keep E-Rod focused. Considering how up and down and mostly down he was during the regular season this year, he seems to be coming, more to fruition with what we expected. And I think he just doesn't want him getting caught up in those games because, who knows, this guy could be fragile as hell. You never know. Maybe he's worried that, you know, you piss off these Houston guys, and they'll go squeal, and maybe he has more secrets that he's worried about getting out. I don't know.
But, my God. That's the Phil, I mean, you just –
oh, my God. I never thought of that.
But you just went down the real – I mean, that's a rabbit hole and a half
that's
that
the
I
dark
am
web.
Too big to jump into. Yeah.
That's the real dark web stuff.
I mean, please, God,
like, Correa
let it not
knows
be that.
Where the berries are body, so I want to protect him. No, because guess what? In all of this, the one guy who absolutely had no problem with it is Carlos Correa.
Which is pretty amazing.
Which is great. Now, again, he may use it as fuel, and then it could become a problem for the Red Sox. If he goes 3-for-3 tonight with 2 dingers, you're going to be like, oh, crap, Rodriguez shouldn't have done that. But in the meantime, it's not like he's freaking out. And I really don't think it's going to be this huge rallying cry that's going to turn them around. Like, oh, my God, Rodriguez pointed at his watch. I don't think that's going to be all of a sudden Houston wins the series. I could be wrong, but
now,
I don't see it.
I do think where some people might jump to tie it in would be if the Astros get out to, say, a 3-0 lead after a couple innings. And then it's the, you woke them up kind of deal. Whereas I think the first 3 innings tonight are massive. Just like last night, if you're the Red Sox and you put up some runs early,
yeah.
Then it's the gas house.
Oh, Pavetta's going to be peacocking around the mound.
Absolutely.
Oh, it's going to be great. But guess what? The Astros won't be able to help themselves. If they do get up, Correa's probably going to do something back. Mm-hmm. And then it's just like a ping pong game between who's showboating, who's taunting, who's celebrating, and everything else. But circling back to the offense, it is remarkable. So they get shut out game 1 ALDS. Since then, 14 runs, 6-6-4-9-12. You, me, Shime, and John could pitch, and we'd win games. That's how good the lineup has been. It almost doesn't matter who's on the mound.
I noticed you left Chris Sale out on that one.
Chris Shime, not Chris Sale.
Oh, gotcha, okay.
No, they actually...
throw a mean changeup.
No, the team is actually 1-1 in Sale starts because they scored 14 in
one of them. That's the thing, yeah. Let's go to Ray in Providence with Gresh and Keefe. Hi, Ray.
Hello, Ray. The line says E-Rod should have done both wrists taunt.
Yep.
What's that?
Providence.
He wanted more taunting.
They're more taunting.
Yeah.
I'm in for more taunting.
Bob is in Tampa with Gresh and Keefe. Hello, Bob.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey. Man, it's first time calling to talk to you guys.
Keith, I actually really like him and listen to you ever since you've been on the air. Gresh, not that I don't like you. I like you just a certain, just bring a different energy, more like a guy in a van down by the river.
Yeah, it's like I'm a homeless guy on meth. There you go.
Right.
No,
no,
more like... Motivation speaker, Matt Foley. Yeah, right.
Keeping the hype going where it's going. I'm glad to hear you lost that weight, though, my man. Because you watch on TV and you look like... You're sweating so bad. You look like Antonio Camardi trying to remember his kids' names and stuff like that. So I'm really happy to hear that you lost all that weight. And I hope you're feeling better. Anyways, to get back to the Sox thing, I'm for sure thinking that this... You know... I don't think the Sox would have turned it around the way they did if the Rays hadn't stole home up 5-0 on the first game of the series in the division series. You know what I mean? So it takes something just like that for a team just to get them flipped around and going the other way. It doesn't have to be the biggest. I mean, that was a big thing, but it doesn't have to be the biggest thing, you know? So why would anybody want to turn it in that direction? You know, I'm really, I can't see it going in that way, you know?
All right, great call, Bob.
Well, I think it's because people, some guy texted, the only thing Sharp throws is meatballs.
He doesn't throw them, though. Why would he want to get rid of them?
I can't stop thinking about it. I wanted to make a point on the whole, I don't think it's going to get nasty. And all I can think
of is... He's out there on the mound, you got marinara sauce dripping off the ball. Like, hey, Sharp.
Two for me, one for you.
Yeah, so he thinks that...
I don't think this is going to turn this nasty.
The whole showboating thing. No, no, not that it's nasty, but do you think that the Red Sox won game 2 and 3 because Correa pointed at a fake watching game one?
No, I don't.
I don't either.
That's a good point.
But that's what I think he's implying. He's like, yeah. Oh, well, now the Astros are going to win 2 games because Rodriguez pointed at an imaginary watch. Like, I don't think so.
I'm kind of with you. And I don't know if people, when they watch a baseball game, get wrapped up into that as much as you do in football, because with football, you're almost looking for it. You've been trained for the, oh, that's a dirty hit or that's a dirty play.
Or like hockey. I mean, yeah. Hockey, you're literally waiting for somebody to like come back. And like, well, now he's got to get him back. Now he has to get him back. And then like, the whole thing is retaliation. This one, I don't see as much. I think
agree.
It's good for the sport. It's like, it's been a blowout game,
yeah.
And it's been a massive topic today, and everybody wants to talk about it. That's good for baseball.
It is, just like Kelly and Amherst once in with Gresh and Keith. Hello, Kelly.
Hey, so, yeah, I like the comp with football. I feel the same way. Also, I think in football, it's like you are physically exerting all of the strength in your body to smash into another human being. If you think about, like, a role-playing game, you get a certain amount of hit points, you know what I'm saying? Keith, you know what I'm talking about.
I do know what you're talking about.
Magnum Dom.
These football players got to think about your body can only take so much damage. So let's say you might, you know, sparse it out like, okay, I'm going to go a little bit weak on this game, but on that game I'm going to bring them everything I got. I'm going to save some for the girlfriend on Friday. But if you go say some trash about this guy, maybe he gets mad. He says, oh, screw the girlfriend. I'm giving this guy everything I got. In baseball, guys, they're trying to hit the ball as hard as they can every time. They're standing around most of the time anyways. They have plenty of energy. I think it's a really stupid idea that someone's going to try to hit the ball a little bit harder now. Oh, they woke up. What, were they sleeping? I think it's stupid.
Kelly was making the girlfriend references on the whole tired legs, if
tired
you know
legs,
what I mean.
I got it. Okay.
Yeah. Versus putting it into everything at the dish.
I understand what you're saying. Yeah, I don't think all of a sudden Correa's like, oh, no, now I want to win the series.
Right.
I think he wanted to win the series the whole time.
I would agree. Yeah. And I don't think, judging by the comments that we heard from Correa, that he's necessarily going to take this real personal either, because he wants to retain his right to pimp a home run.
Yes, but you also know how it works. If he hits a home run tonight, people will equate it to the Rodriguez thing, even though he's a great hitter and he's probably due for another home run, and like it's just going to happen anyway.
And those three guys, it's Correa, Altuve,
And Bregman are all doing terrible.
They are having a terrible series.
Brantley's
so far.
Doing nothing. Yeah.
And again, and there is the, you understand Alex Cora and kind of where he's coming from. It just seems, and even though we hear, you know, the whole, oh, we scored 16 at Yankee Stadium, suck on that. You know, the
nobody thought we would be
here. That's as Rodney Harrison as it gets.
We score 16 at Yankee Stadium, suck on it.
I thought the only motivation was just to win those four games and go to the next series and win those four games. And if you need anything else, you're in the wrong business, is what he said.
Oh, man. Hey, when you leave work, make sure you are listening to us on 93.7 FM in Boston or on 103.7 FM in Providence. And good morning to Worcester, Springfield, Cape in the Islands, Keene, New Hampshire, and up in Maine. And don't forget, anytime, anywhere, wherever you are, you can listen to us on the Odyssey app. We're going to get into, should the Red Sox take the cheese on Eddie Rodriguez? We will get to that coming up at noon. But first, we're going to help you win some fantasy this week because the injuries are piling up. You're going to need to put in some waiver claims. We'll visit the waiver wire next.
More Crash and Keith right now on WEEI.
He's gonna give you what you need to know. Talk about who you gotta start, who you gotta say, gotta let go. When you be like, whoop, whoop, you doing so good, gonna win your league. But you gotta listen to Rich Keefe.
And Shine Time.
In the fantasy breeze. Rich Keefe is playing like John Clayton up inside the huddle. And he's got an intimate knowledge of the fantasy game. Like he and Matthew Berry like to cuddle. If your team got a problem, yo, he'll solve it. Winston Wolfe for this fantasy gauntlet. So pretty pleased with sugar on it. Check out the hook walk.
Shine.
Keefe's gonna give you the info you desire. Who to claim from the waiver wire? So your lineup game is on fire. Put them on the board.
Championship.
You're definitely gonna win your league, but you gotta listen to Rich Keefe.
And Shine Time.
Finla Fantasy.
Brief. My fantasy team is 1-4. Jeez.
Oh, we don't want you to be like the felonious footballer, Orenthal Simpson.
Yeah, I wonder how he did this weekend.
I don't know. I'm sure we'll get the update soon enough. 11:50 here with Gresh and Keefe, and it is time for us to quickly hit the fantasy waiver wire because bye weeks are wrecking your fantasy team.
Yeah, you could say that. You sort of dipped your toes last week into the bye weeks, right? You might have had a guy or two that was out, but this week, it's pretty off the charts when you look at all the teams that are not going to be playing. It's significant teams, too, with a lot of really good offenses. You're talking about the Buffalo Bills are out, the Cowboys, the Vikings, the Steelers, the Chargers, and even the now one-win Jaguars, where James Robinson has been a must-start each and every week.
Ugh.
That's six teams that all have multiple fantasy starters on there. So you add up all those teams that aren't playing and all the injuries that have happened. I think everybody's hitting the waiver wire this week. So, Shime, I'll start with a couple of running backs here. De'Ernest Johnson of the Cleveland Browns. Of course, Kareem Hunt carted off the field.
Mm.
Nick Chubb didn't play last week, and they have the quick turnaround. Now, it's not an ideal matchup because the Denver Broncos are a pretty good team, pretty good defense anyway. But at that same time, if you have Dalvin Cook or if you have Ezekiel Elliott or if you have all these different guys, Austin Eckler, you're going to need somebody, and De'Ernest Johnson could end up getting a pretty high volume of carries in the game. So he's my first priority to pick up this week. Sean.
One of the guys I would take a look at here is Rashad Penny. Coming off of an injury for the Seahawks, we're kind of unclear where Alex Collins stands. Pete Carroll didn't give a yes or a no if he'll be good to go for next Sunday. So the assumption is you probably assume that he's not going to be good to go. Grab a guy like Rashad Penny, who Carroll did actually say is coming 100% off the IR, ready to rock. Penny hasn't seen a ton of time just because he's been injured, but this is a guy who was a former first-round pick, has shown explosiveness in some spurts, but just hasn't been able to stay healthy.
All right, this guy's pretty boom or bust, but again, I think desperate times call for desperate measures. Kenyon Drake of the Las Vegas Raiders. Last week, 4 carries for 34 yards and a touchdown, 2 catches for 39 yards and a touchdown. So Josh Jacobs is clearly their number one, but if you think they're going to have a little bit of a resurgence, because John Gruden's gone. They just went out and beat up on Denver. They're playing Philly this week. I think you could do worse than Kenyon Drake.
Antonio Gibson seems to have some kind of shin injury, so you need to go look at that Washington football team backfield. J.D. McKissick's the guy. I mean, he had 110 targets.
Give you what you need to know. Talk about who you gotta start.
I'm just going to cut it. I swear I did not touch anything. So
you're
going
to play us off? All right.
J.D. McKissick had 110 targets last year. He's probably going to get the majority of the carries. The other guy in that backfield, though, that may end up being the first and second down back while J.D. is the third down back, is Jarrett Patterson. So that's a guy to keep your eye on. Maybe stash him. I don't think you're going to get any production out of him right away, but at least for now, he could be a stash guy for a couple weeks down the road.
Well, another one for you, that Ravens backfield, which was insane that you'd even want anybody after they lost all 3 of their top running backs at the beginning of the season. Well, this past week, They blew out the Chargers. Lamar Jackson even said this about his old guys.
That was dope. You know, they was hitting the holes hard, offensive line gave him a great hold to hit. And all three of them got a touchdown. That was dope. That was pretty cool.
All three of them talking about Devontae Freeman, Latavius Murray, and Le'Veon Bell all scored touchdowns. Now, Latavius Murray got hurt in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Le'Veon Bell looks like he's running in quicksand. So, if you need one of those backs from the Ravens, I would suggest Devontae Freeman. Now, Tyson Williams could return, but even still, I don't think he's going to get every single carry. So, Devontae Freeman, not a bad guy from the Ravens to add, really, just for this week. These are all kind of patchwork, at least on my guys, are kind of patchwork, bye-week injury fill-in type players.
Yeah, and so if you want to go in a little bit of a different direction where it's not quite patchwork, you seem pretty good this week because you just happen to not have a lot of bye weeks, and you could stash somebody. Guys to keep your eyes on here are Marlon Mack could get traded at any moment. Tyson Williams, as you just mentioned, could also be traded here coming up at the trade deadline. Those guys could easily be on the move, so they might be stashing saves for later. But the guy I'm targeting for this week and going forward here is Donovan Peoples-Jones, wide receiver for the Browns. Seems to be the most productive receiver out of any of them. I mean, 2 weeks ago, he had 6 targets, 5 catches for 70 yards. This past week, 5 targets, 4 catches, 101 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Lord knows what's up with Odell and Jarvis Landry. So right now, I think Donovan Peoples-Jones is a playable option.
Cousin of Ricky Snails-Jones.
That's right.
Who else that would also be a tight end streamer if you need one. Right there.
He had
a touchdown
last week.
Yeah, apparently that Dawson Knox from Buffalo, broken hand. Another on the bye. Yeah.
So might as well go pick up Tommy Sweeney.
Tommy
caught a touchdown.
Sounds like a guy who got arrested for yelling at A-Rod over at Fenway.
All right, there you go. There are your pickups for week 7.
There it is, folks. All the fantasy help you need. We get into the noontime hour and back into the Red Sox. Should we take the cheese with Eddie Rodriguez? Should we take the cheese on maybe bringing Ed Rod back for another year? Maybe 2, maybe 3? That's where our discussion goes for the lunchtime hour next.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.